So it's quite simple and today.
We also learned about the importance of not just eating all the nutrients, but eating the right ratio of portions of nutrients.
We get dismissed,
you
of course.
Don't want to have too much. You need some, but not too much. And different people might have a hard time absorbing this one or that one. So actually planning proper nutrition, it is actually a challenge. I don't remember much of the class, but I learned that eating is complicated.
So
the
trigger will be using
that. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Strong and smart.
Simply eating a bunch of healthy food,
I think most people
does not mean
that
we're eating well. It's good
to
eat a nice, good variety of natural, healthy foods. But there's actually quite a bit of planning that goes into a well-rounded diet that's going to provide exactly what you,
that was
personally,
the
need. I remember coming out of that class
one day, won't be
and looking over and seeing one of my classmates
coming
out, and he looked a little bit distressed.
Okay. Probably
like
next Sabbath when it's
he
more complicated,
all the information about
and like
kind of
just watch you
watch
you used to
watch this.
Frankly, overwhelming. He thought he was doing good eating that, and he was overwhelmed. He shared with me. I really hope the people in the cafeteria are coordinating our food well. I would not want to be a chef responsible for preparing the food for a large group of people.
Yeah.
And here I am, a parent. Got little Emma here.
No, this is a challenge.
Forget about trying to get her to eat her omega-3s.
Every once in a while, he gets excited.
Sometimes just getting her to eat a vegetable is a battle. But in addition to that challenge, as a pastor, I am given the responsibility of being a spiritual chef for my church family. Given the responsibility of providing a balanced and complete spiritual meal for each of my church families. There are so many topics out there that need to be covered. Several people sent me questions this past week, and each one of them was like, boy, that should be a sermon. There's so many different things, and there's so many different people. You can preach a sermon, and two people can come out with very different lessons that they took away from
it.
Sometimes there's some things that need to be hit very, very hard for some of us to get it, and there's other ones where if you come on too strong, it has the opposite effect. It's often said that the pastor's responsibility is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. How do you do that in one go? It's very challenging. So with that challenge, why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper every quarter? And why do we preach more or less the same sermon every 3 months? There's only so many ways that you can spin the same story in the same passage. We might ask, isn't that a waste of a sermon when we could be preaching about so many other things? It's a fair question. That's one I've sometimes wrestled with. A couple weeks ago, I guess it's been more than a couple weeks ago, I was out on our back patio. And I wish I could say that I was there for some profound reason, like I was reading a book or meditating on some really deep mystery. But the truth is, it was during that really hot spell. I was dying, and so I just wanted to cool down. So I rested on the patio. And as I was sitting there, I noticed this bright orange dragonfly perched on a little branch of one of our bushes in the backyard. And it was very bright, very beautiful, very striking. And so I was watching it, and I noticed that it would cling to that plant, and it would stay there for a while, and then suddenly it would zip off, and it would go hunt for some insect, it would disappear for a little bit, and then it would be back. Instead, that was its little space that it kept coming back to. So it repeatedly followed that same pattern the whole time that I watched it. It would disappear, it would go do something, and then it would come back to its little place and rest for a little while. That branch was its home base, the place that it always came back to. And in observing this, I realized that there is a spiritual lesson to be learned from that dragonfly. As Christians, we do many things. As Christians, we learn, we study many different things. But we must always come back to the cross. We must always return to the sacrificial lamb whose blood was shed for us. There are all sorts of different topics that need to be studied. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and I think that's a valuable study. But if we keep going Ten Commandments without coming back to the cross, we can walk away with completely the wrong message, the wrong emphasis. This is why the Lord instructed us to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is why we celebrate it often. It's why we keep coming back to the same story, the same passage, sometimes even the same sermon. In Romans chapter 3, 23 and 24, we are told, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It would be depressing if it didn't matter. But the next verse says, "Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." This beautiful text outlines the gospel in very simple terms. It tells us that everyone has sinned, everyone has fallen short. But it also tells us that God offers us redemption through his Son. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Just knowing the situation.
Mercy of our loving God.
Again,
these ideas are not
song.
And yet,
oh yeah, that's right.
We do not repeat these ideas or believe
no,
them. We have a temptation, a tendency sometimes to believe that we've grown
maybe
up.
Mm-hmm.
And we can move along from these
yeah.
simple
truths. You just turn that mic on.
To baby Christian ideas that we're grown up now. We think that we've matured to where we no longer need the blood of Christ to give life to us.
Up there.
We want to graduate to some sort of higher level where we don't need this stuff anymore, and we can move on to more advanced
sure
things.
If she's going to or not.
But friends, if those ideas were true, why did God institute the Lord's Supper?
Right.
Why were we instructed to repeatedly partake of His broken body and His shed blood? I came across an interesting quote. It's from Third Spiritual Gifts, page 227 and 228. I just want to share this with you because I think it articulates these thoughts well. It says, here our Savior instituted the Lord's Supper to be celebrated often, to keep fresh in the memory of His followers the solemn scenes of His betrayal and crucifixion for the sins of the world. He would have His followers realize their continual dependence upon His blood for salvation. The broken bread was a symbol of Christ's broken body, given for the salvation of the world. The wine was a symbol of His blood, shed for the cleansing of the sins of all those who would come unto Him for pardon and receive Him as their Savior. And then there's this bombshell line. It says, the salvation of men depends. Those words mean we pay attention. The salvation of men depends. So what comes next is important. The salvation of men depends upon a continual application to their hearts of the cleansing blood of Christ. That last sentence articulates what I believe is one of the most powerful truths taught by the Lord's Supper. It tells us that salvation is not based upon a singular, punctiliar application of the blood of Christ. It's not based on accepting Him one time and receiving His gift one time and you're good to go. If you've ever studied in the Old Testament about the Jewish sacrificial system, you have probably seen the idea of the continual or daily sacrifices.
So I'm gonna go back with my wife. And
yeah.
We'll come back
with the fam.
Any idea? And then a new one will come and catch on top of it, and it keeps on building and building and building until we have what's called a coral reef. Now, there's something that is on each of these little coral algae or animals will have these little algae, little tiny, little green or brown little animals, little algae that lives on the little corals. Let's put some on yours here. And then what happens is those little algae are what makes the corals give their color. But those corals are inside. Here's the little hard shells. We're going to put this right over your hand there. And we're going to put this one over your hand on the other side. Each to remember, first of all, that we are breathing. choose one turtle and two fish out of here. Would you choose a turtle? It's our angel fish. What kind of fish would you choose? Which fish would you choose? We need this one. And we need this one. And we need this one. And we need this one too. And there's another one.
Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In 1 Corinthians 11, 25-26, we read, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you.